Third statement, in shunyata, no dharmas exist. This is the corollary of the previous statement, the more positive counterpart, if you like, of the previous statement. It means, or rather it suggests, that reality is quite bare, as it were, quite pure, as it were. It's devoid of all our intellectual constructions, all our philosophies, all our concepts. They are ours. They belong to us. They do not belong to reality. Reality knows nothing about them. Reality knows nothing about the Abhidharma. It knows nothing about any philosophy of ours, nothing about any system, and so on. We might even say, anthropomorphizing a little, that reality rejects all our philosophies, rejects all our systems, rejects all our thoughts. And in shunyata, there's no distinction whatsoever of conditioned and unconditioned dharmas and pure dharmas and defiled dharmas. In shunyata, in reality, all such dualisms are transcended. So in this third great statement, that in shunyata no dharmas exist, Avalokiteshvara drives home, he reinforces his previous statement, and he makes it clear that reality, shunyata, voidness, is absolutely bare, as it were, pure, as it were, of all these concepts, all these philosophies, all these systematic intellectual approaches. It's just like the sky. It's a very favorite, a very famous image in Mahayana Buddhism. It's just like the sky, without any cloud whatsoever. The clouds may sometimes be very beautiful, especially at sunset. You may get beautiful red clouds, golden clouds, but they obscure the naked brilliance of the sky itself. So reality, shunyata, in its true state, above and beyond all our thoughts about it, our systems, is just like the pure cloudless sky. So in shunyata, no dharmas exist. Fourth statement. There is no such thing as Buddhism. I'm paraphrasing a wee bit, but this is what it comes to. There is no such thing as Buddhism. With the second of his great statements, Avalokiteshvara disposed of philosophy, even Buddhist philosophy. But do you think that Buddhism itself is going to escape? With this statement, he disposes not just of philosophy, but of religion, even Buddhism. In other words, disposes of religion as considered as an end in itself. He makes it clear that religion is not an absolute, not ultimate. And in this part of the sutra, Avalokiteshvara, addressing Sariputra, enumerates various well-known categories of Buddhist thought and Buddhist religion. For instance, the five skandhas, the five groups, then the six sense organs, then the 18 elements, then the 12 links, the famous 12 links of the chain of dependent origination, which you see depicted in the outermost circle of the wheel of life, then the four noble truths, then knowledge itself, then attainment itself, and even non-attainment. Navalokiteshvara declares all these categories, philosophical and religious, they're all shunyata, void. In other words, not ultimately valid. That is to say, perfect wisdom goes beyond Buddhism. It goes beyond even the Four Noble Truths, even beyond conditioned co-production, dependent origination, even beyond the idea of attainment or non-attainment, even beyond the idea of knowledge, beyond the idea of enlightenment. Because Buddhism itself is is only a raft to take us to the other shore, is only a finger pointing to the moon. So in this fourth great statement, Avalokiteshvara disposes, or perfect wisdom as it were, disposes of all the traditional religious categories, those which are the operative bases, as it were, of our religious life. And he says, in reality, not even any Four Noble Truths, not even any attainment, not even any non-attainment, and so on. He negates, he denies all these, not only philosophical, but even practical religious categories. And he says, in effect, no such thing as Buddhism. And if you want to develop, you want to realize perfect wisdom, you have to go beyond Buddhism and realize that in reality, there is no such thing as Buddhism. Now, at this point, of course, I think some of us at least can begin to see the bearing of the Heart Sutra on Zen. If you've read only even one or two books about Zen, or a few Zen stories, you'll begin to see where Zen links up with, connects with, the Heart Sutra. Or where the Heart Sutra, rather, works itself out practically in terms of Zen. You go beyond even Buddhism. You all know the story about the famous Zen master who was asked by the pupil, well, suppose I met the Buddha one day, what should I do? And the master says, kill him. In other words, go beyond the Buddha, go beyond Buddhism. There are lots of stories like that. I'm not going to bore you by repeating them. Many of you know them by heart already. But you can see where the Heart Sutra links up with Zen. Whereas the Heart Sutra says most emphatically, in reality, there's no such thing as Buddhism. If you want to get to reality, you have to go beyond Buddhism. This is one of the main points of Zen itself, in practical terms.